Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to read or quote some of the passage from 1 Corinthians that Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives to us to instruct us about communion, which we're going to celebrate in a moment. And I'm going to emphasize a few things about that and kind of where that started and where it came from and the impact on our life. And then we're going to take a moment and examine our life before the Lord to prepare ourselves to eat the bread and drink the cup. And then I'm going to have deacons and their spouse, if they're available, and our staff who are available to come, and they're going to stand across the front. And I'm going to invite you, and I won't tell you what the invitation is yet, but I'm going to invite some of you to come and just let somebody pray with you. Okay? That's what we do for one another. It doesn't make them holier than you or anything else. They also have their own needs, like any of us. But that's kind of what we're going to walk through here this morning before we make our way to a day of whatever you have planned for yourselves. Hopefully it will include a little bit of rest, putting your feet up possibly. If you have tasks that need to be done, may God empower you to do it. May it be done smoothly and quickly and without accident. First Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes to us. He does a lot of instruction and explaining in his letter to the Corinthian church because it's a new church. It's an early church. And many of them are not Jewish and don't have a spiritual heritage. A lot of them were pagans. They're Greek. They're non-Jew, and they're all putting their faith in Christ. Some of those became Messianic Jews. Some were pagans who were converted. And so you mix a group of people like this, okay, into one place, into one body of believers, and they're all kind of new at this faith in Christ. And so you have a lot of things going on. If you want to talk about a church that was a little bit messed up, right? There were works of flesh, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't entirely their fault. They're coming out of stuff and coming into a new faith in Christ. How many of you remember those days for you? Yeah, maybe you came to faith in the Lord, He found you, and you were just bringing a lot of stuff along with you. Maybe some new thoughts. You weren't acquainted with the Scripture. It was just, it's just new. It's new birth. And it's going from dark to light. And things are being figured out. And you may have opinions. And you discover that your opinions aren't really correct or they don't carry over into this redeemed life of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul was writing letters to a lot of churches in the Corinthian church. You know, they were blending and mixing some of their pagan history and some of their religious background and bringing it all together. And they were having conflict. They were having trouble. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God was bringing maturity. He was bringing order. He was setting a track for them, just like He does for us in our new life and our new walk with Christ. And so one of the things that he covers is the Lord's Supper, or what we call communion. And he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also am giving to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this or eat this, remember me.' In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup of redemption. After supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, so he has instructions for us before we eat the bread and drink the cup, to prevent us from doing this in an unworthy manner, he tells us what we need to do, or we'll be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So it says this, for us to drink in a worthy manner, not just out of habit, just not out of routine, not just out of some religious practice. He says a person should examine themselves, their life, their faith. And so they can eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. He says this. This is interesting. That if we don't do this properly and we don't judge ourselves, that it opens a door to being weak and ill and sick. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone who has sick or something physical happens in your body that you haven't taken communion correctly. He's just saying this is one of the ways that illness, sickness, and death can creep into our life. This respect of the Lord, his body, his blood, his covenant, his love for you and I, he takes as a very serious thing, not a casual thing, not just a thing out of routine. And so he says, some of you, you're weak and ill and have died because you didn't judge yourself. He says, so if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. In other words, we've taken care of business between us and the Lord, right? Repentance, change, confession, all of that bundled together is part of our spiritual life and expression of faith and believing in Jesus Christ. That we put all of that in place, and part of it is the ongoing judging of ourself according to his word and his Spirit's help. It's not that there's condemnation. There's condemnation if we don't judge ourselves, because then we need to be judged. But if we take care of business with him, then we will not be judged according to the misdeeds, the misattitudes, all of those things in us, because we're taking care of business, spiritual life with him. And so he says this, but if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. God is very interested in your eternity and your current life. He does not want you lost with those who don't believe in him. Turn to a couple of people around you and say, God does not want you lost. He doesn't want you lost. There's a couple focal points, and understand that the Lord's Supper has its roots prior to Jesus in the Jewish Passover and the Cedar meal. Okay, that's where the roots are found, because when Jesus got together at Passover with his disciples before his crucifixion, before his trial and judgment, before the leaders, religious leaders and political leaders, he has this Passover dinner meal with his disciples, and they are going through the Jewish Passover, and Jesus begins to change a couple of things. Not that the cedar meal isn't important, it is, and the facets of it. But Jesus begins to talk about a covenant, a new covenant that is made in his blood that is for the forgiveness of sins. That there is a grace and mercy for you and I, regardless of our history. Your history does not have to determine your future and your eternity. There is new life in Christ. Behold, all things are becoming new. brand new. And your past does not have to loom over your life today or your final eternal state and destination. This is good news. You should be smiling at me. Yeah. It's not my idea. I just get to tell you about it. Can't take credit for it. It's His great way, His great idea about you and I being saved. Why? Because He loves us. You know the scripture. For God so loved that He gave His Son. For you and I. For the world. For people. So this idea of the Passover and becoming communion, there are many facets to this, but I want to focus just on a few things that you and I can embrace today and think about today and have appreciation for. One of the focus is remembrance. Remembrance. What are we supposed to remember? Well, in the Passover, they focus on remembrance of being delivered. And being delivered and recognizing that God heard their prayers and delivered them from being slaves in Egypt and bringing them into a new promise. For you and I, we get to remember where God found us, where He brought us out of. Where we are still journeying, you know, along in our life, but He has brought you to a promise, the promise of salvation. He brought them out, remembering where you came from. Now, some of you are like, well, I didn't really come from all that terrible of a place. I was kind of born into the church, grew up in children's ministry, went to youth, and became a young adult, and you know, I didn't get terribly lost in all the gross sins of the world. Oh, thanks be to God, He spared you. Or some of you say, well, I grew up in all that, but I had this period of time. Yeah, well, welcome to that club that He delivered and brought us into a new life. For some, you came to faith in Christ a little later in life. Point is, you came to Christ in this life. That's what matters. And He delivered, and He saved, and He looked upon you and I with compassion. Because He knows where you came from. He had your address. You can't hide from Him. And you can't hide now from Him. If I happen to say something and you think, oh, He's talking to me, which, by the way, I hear that a lot. And I'm just like, I'm talking to me, I'm talking to all of us, right? You can blame me and get mad at me, but, you know, maybe you should just consider what was said because He's trying to get your attention because He cares about you. Amen. That's just the reality. And I'm glad that He talks, and I'm glad that He gets our attention. I've even had people come to me and say, when you said this in your sermon, and I'm like, yeah, I never said that. But He said something to them, to you, that this man could never say, not without Him. And so, remember. Remember where you were. Remember His great deliverance. Remember what He's brought you through. It's about remembering. Not just only where we were and how we needed a deliverer, but once He came and we put faith in Him, there has been this walk with Him. There's forgiveness came immediately. Salvation came immediately. But then there was the whole walking out the process to the promised land for the Israelites. And it was quite a shakedown. A lot of stuff got exposed in those people, just like things get exposed in us. But He's faithful. And so part of the Passover, part of communion, is remembering that He found us and He delivered you and I. And he's bringing us into the fulfillment of his promise and promises. That gives you a hope for today, and it gives you a hope for your future. A hope that should be greater and should build than the things that we face today that are challenges. A greater hope. Remember, he did this all in a covenant in his blood. You see, what Jesus did is a fulfillment of what was done in the Old Testament, that when those who were Jewish do the Passover, they remember the book of Exodus. They remember in Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. I should probably turn there. I want to read this to you. Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. Listen to this. Then he took, Moses, took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do and we will be obedient." Could you imagine this place? For read the book of the law, and all of you just shouted out, "Whatever God has spoken and written, we promise we will do." So he brought it out, read it. That was their response. And then Moses took the blood from the sacrifices. He took the blood and he took half of it and just splattered it on the altar. And the rest, he sprinkled and threw on the people. Because a covenant was made in blood in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes now through time and is with his disciples. And he said, "There is a new covenant made in my blood, which is for the forgiveness of sin." No longer the blood of bulls and goats and animals, but one man, the righteous Son of God, shed his blood, one man for all time, for every person to come into the future. Through the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus. And so when they do Passover, they consider this blood, this sacrifice, this atonement, and Jesus now has come. And that's what we do. We remind ourselves, we remember where we came from. We remember that we've been delivered. We remember that he sacrificed. We remember and we honor the covenant that has been made in his blood. It's more powerful than the signature that you have placed on any legal document. There's a similarity, but that blood of the Lamb, it's never removed. Your documents of this world, they will burn. But his blood, it's an eternal covenant. No one can take it away. No one can cancel it. You and I can choose not to live in the covenant, but it will never remove his blood and the covenant he has made with people for those who believe and will remember the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been sent to demonstrate the love of God and undo the work of Satan. That remembrance, that covenant, it leads us to remember redemption. That there is a heaven and there is a hell. And that redemption that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ, that redemption that is offered, that you and I can act, think about this, because we just, as Christians, we just think about it, we know it, but we don't always give it credence. That you will actually in your eternity, after this life as we know it, that you and I will have, through faith in Jesus Christ and his blood covenant to us and our faith in him that will lead us home, that you will actually live in the presence of God with no veil. We see dimly now, but you and I shall see him face to face. There's a hell to shun. How's that for old words, old preacher talk? Hell to shun and heaven to gain. That through this faith in Christ, it will keep us from being separated from God for all time. And bring us into his presence for all time. He has made a way for you. And your past has no power over his blood. Listen to me. Your past has no power over his blood when you put faith in him. Your past, my past, all that we've done, all of our bad attitude, all the stuff we've tried to excuse that doesn't stand in the judge of the court of God, none of it stands. You and I have the responsibility to exercise our faith and not exalt our past, its power over his blood covenant with us. Amen. He loves you. And you could feel really bad about that because, you know, I'm not worthy and I'm all bad and I can't accept it. Oh, stop being so full of yourself, Randy. You need his grace and mercy. Your past, it doesn't have to have any hold on you. And it doesn't have to determine your future and your destination and who you're going to live with for all eternity. Don't exalt your past as if it has more power. You exalt the Lord. You exalt the power of his blood and his love covenant with you. That's what matters. That has the final word. Unless you and I don't believe it. Ephesians 1, I want to read this to you quickly. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins or trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. Do you know what lavished is? So much you can't contain it. So much that you can't contain it. You can't gather it all up. Lavished! Have you ever gifted somebody so much that they just think, this is too much. I can't take it. Would you just... That's going to be my wife on Christmas. So much. Enough. Not enough. He just lavishes. That's who he is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, God made the law. Under the law. The law is the law. And we're all lawbreakers. So Christ paid for our debt to heavenly society. For us, Under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. He could not shed his blood unless he came in the flesh. He came. And he did what God called him to do and empowered him to do. And he fulfilled the law. And yet he died as a criminal, spilt his blood to make a covenant, to fulfill the law that you and I could be saved. I want you to bow your head, please, all over the room. Worship team, you can come. We're about to celebrate communion. If you did not get the emblems, you can quickly slip back there and get those if you need. You think about what God has done and how he planned it and how he carried it out. And it has an impact all the way to today and all the tomorrows we'll have and throughout all eternity. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? What Christ has done for you and I. Please, you and I need to understand this. Without him coming, you and I would have no hope. No future. Lost. You matter to him. You matter to him. So what does this mean for you and I? But to remember that we have a deliverer where he found us, where he's bringing us to. The covenant he made in his blood, he will not shrink back. He spilt his blood. He has sealed the covenant with his blood. And he brought redemption to you and I. If you're here and you've never asked Christ into your life, or you're here and the thorns and briars of life have tangled you up and you've just been distant from him, this is the moment to renew. This is the moment of restoration. This is the moment of reconciling with him. So we're going to give everybody, all of us, a moment to examine our life. Have we taken this salvation for granted? Have I become lukewarm? Have I become mediocre? Am I just familiar and stopped somewhere along the way thinking I'm still this devoted follower? But I've lost the zeal of the Lord. Examine your own heart. It's between you and him and the Holy Spirit in this moment. Confess your sin. Renew if you need to. Restore. Come clean by the blood of the Lamb over your life.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.